B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's the 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show, and the 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. Well, our next guest joins us on Fridays from 4 to 5. He's also brought to us by Landis Block, and I don't believe that we have spoken since his ex-coach won a Super Bowl, and he was pulling for him. Let's welcome into great number 36, Brian Westbrook. Hello, B. West.
Mikey, miss, how are you doing, my friend?
Good. You wearing a Kansas City Chiefs sweatshirt today?
I am not. I'm certainly happy for Andy Reid. Uh-huh. I'm happy that, you know, and there's a lot of coaches and even ex-players that I played with on that staff. So I'm happy for all those guys. But, you know, at the same time, I'm still not as happy as I would have been if I, of course, was on either that team or the team in Philadelphia would have won in 05.
Well, so, I'll tell you, though, you guys came out of the woodwork to congratulate Andy. Oh, yeah. Every one of you. Oh, coach, what was like a slobber fest with you guys?
Well, Mike, time on now. Now, if you had one of your old coaches, one of your old baseball coaches, one of your old basketball coaches that won the Super Bowl, you have to tell me. You can't tell me that you couldn't.
Completely different circumstance.
No, it's not completely different.
Yeah, it is. You're actually worshiping a team that's not the Philadelphia Eagles.
No. See that word you threw in there? That was pretty slick what you did. Worshiping. Uh-huh. Nobody's worshiping.
Oh, my God.
We're
worshiping all the tweets with the smiley faces.
You acknowledge that the tear
emojis. My God.
Nobody's giving the tear emoji. We're acknowledging Andy Reid and his ability to finally get over the hump and win the Super Bowl. We were proud of him. And really, you know, you have to, I believe that over time, coaches understand things better. They learn from situations. And in 21 years, it took him 21 years to do it. Andy Reid finally did it. And I'm happy for him, his family, as well as the coaching staff.
All right.
And you're upset because they're not wearing midnight green.
I love you, coach. Now forget about your bad time management and your terrible game plans and the fact that you didn't value certain positions that prevented us from winning the Super Bowl. It was great to see you win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would like a couple more carries. I would like that. And a couple more $1 million, too. So, I mean, you know, I would like that for Andy Reid.
Yeah, but I understand that you did pick the 49ers on television.
I did.
Westbrook.
At the end of the third quarter, the 49ers are up 20-10. They're winning the doggone game. If the Chiefs don't go on a 21-zip run with 6 minutes left in the game, the game's over. If this vaunted defense that was the number one pass defense in the doggone NFL doesn't give up 21 points at the end of the game, doesn't give up 3rd-15, 3rd-10, then it is a 49ers win, and I would have won some money.
Let me just clear this up here because I'm smelling a big violation here.
Okay.
Now, can a man, Tyrone, pick against his old head coach's team, and then when the result comes out, join in the worshiping?
Of course you
of
can.
The man.
You can't do that. Like, how are you going to do that? You were basically rooting against them deep down because you want to be right.
Oh, the 49ers won the doggone game. He said, up by 2 touchdowns.
He goes, the Chiefs can win. I saw him on TV. He act like people didn't see him. He goes, the Chiefs can win, but 49ers roster.
Time out.
You
I'm gonna tell y'all something. Mike is the king of hedging, so he should never bring up anyone saying one thing and doing another thing.
If I picked the 49ers, I would at least have the decency to maybe not get as enthusiastic about Andy. I would stay in the background, maybe.
Just because I picked the 49ers, who I thought was a better team, who was winning the entire doggone game.
We had it all the way, coach. Yeah.
We did it. I didn't say we did it. I just said congratulations. I'm happy for him. And I sent him a text message and all. You know what I'm saying?
I got it. All right, listen, man. It was great for Andy. I didn't feel the emotional attachment that a lot of people in Philadelphia
felt. Of course you did, because you didn't like Andy.
No, it had nothing to do. I liked him personally. You know, he didn't do anything to me personally. Well, I didn't dislike him personally. I didn't even know him personally. I disliked the fact that he did some things that weren't enough to get him over the top. So,
that's the reason you don't like him. That's what I'm talking about. You don't like him.
Okay, well, no, it's not that I don't like him. It's just I don't understand the worship. He didn't win anything here. He was here for 12 years. He was allowed to coach for 12 years without winning. There are only two other coaches allowed to coach that long without winning. Why do I have to get all sentimental because he won in Kansas City?
Mike. You keep using this word worship. Now, when you congratulate somebody, that does not mean that you worship them. You're just saying congratulations. I'm happy that you finally won. Now, if there's something wrong with that, then I think there may be something wrong with you.
There might be something wrong with me. I'm sure there is.
We know that.
Yes, right. But I just the sentimentality I don't understand. He was here. He didn't win. God bless him. He went somewhere else. He won. I don't know. There's no more connection to him for me.
Well, again, Mike, you didn't play for him, so I don't expect you to be connected.
No, I'm talking about the everyday fan. Well, I'm not talking about you guys. I think you're yelping up, jumping up and down like school children because he won Super Bowl.
This is what I think the average fan says. The average fan says, you know what? This team was 3-13 before Andy got here. They were 5-11 Andy's first year, and then Andy went on to play in one Super Bowl and 5 NFC Championship games. They understand that he brought this team from a place that it was terrible to a place that they were expected. We were expected to go to the playoffs each and every year. We were disappointed if we didn't get home field advantage. So, I mean, that's what I think people are saying. You love and appreciate Andy before that. Now, of course, he didn't get over the hump. Mm-hmm. He didn't win the big game. But, I mean, listen, there are 31 other coaches in the NFL that didn't win the big game this season. And every year you keep adding on to that number. So I think the fans are just saying, we appreciate Andy for the things that he did do in Philadelphia.
Okay, I get it.
What you are doing is hating right now.
No, I'm not hating. He built a program. They were viable. Am I supposed to be happy just with a program that people thought was going to win? Or am I supposed to be happy about a team that wins? Like, I don't understand why I should be happy about an era that didn't win anything.
You mean win it all?
Yes.
Or just win?
Win it all. This is Philadelphia, Brian. What are we supposed to do? Take like a consolation prize? Like this is like they give the little leaguers just because they competed.
No, that's not. All right, we're not saying give trophies out for second and third and fourth place. We're saying that we're happy for Big Red. That's what we're
all saying. All right, and I can see why you're happy because coaches mean a lot to players. I remember the coaches that I had that taught me. Like I may not have liked them, but they taught me something, and he was invested in your life. I get your admiration.
I'm just talking from a
fan standpoint. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the beef. Because apparently we got another beef. You and Tyrone. You guys beef a lot.
I know.
And,
we don't see eye to eye.
I kind of like
anything.
It. I like it. Because I can wedge my way in there and cause more trouble. So the beef is about Shaq. Now.
Basically.
It's kind of like Shaq / Embiid. Now, Brian, you watched the game last night. There's no way the Sixers should have expected to win that game because they're not as good as that other team. But there was some things in the game that people are really focusing on, and it was Embiid playing weak, according to some people. Mm-hmm. And you agree. You watched that game. Your impression was he was weak.
Who said that? Did I say that?
Well, no. I mean, you're agreeing with Shaq and the assessment that Shaq and Barkley made, and their assessment was weak.
This is where you keep going in the wrong direction.
I'm just trying to understand the beef between you and Tyrone.
And I'm going to explain it to you. But I first have to acknowledge that you have no clue what you're talking about because you keep listening to Tyrone. That's the problem.
All right. That's why you're going to tell a story. Go ahead.
Tyrone said that I have a problem because over Shaq. I'm not saying that I agree with Shaq. I said Shaq said that Embiid is soft. Period. That's it. That's what Shaq said. Shaq would know way more about basketball than I would ever because he played the doggone game. And
that's
he's a big
true.
Man. And listen, he watched Embiid. He watched the first half of Embiid, and he said that he played soft. That was his opinion. And I repeated his opinion, and I gave him credit for what he said. What I said was, originally, this is my original quote. My quote was that Embiid said after the first matchup with the Milwaukee Bucks that he wants to be the defensive MVP, player of the year, right?
Yes.
And that's because he did a great job of slowing down Giannis. Really, he kind of shut down Giannis in that first game.
Yeah.
And my point was this. If the Sixers want to win this game, Embiid has to be that same guy that he was in that first game. Would that be true? That's accurate.
Yes, but the first game he didn't have surgery the 3.5 weeks
that we Mike, before he came listen, back. This is what I learned.
I'm just being fair here.
I'm going to explain to you what the professional athletes think about injuries.
Okay.
If you're out there on the floor, injuries don't matter. You get no excuses. You get no passes. That's just the way things are in the NFL, in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, and hockey. Everything else. You're going to be treated as if you're healthy if you're out there on the floor. So, I mean, to me, I understand that players play with injuries all the time. I've seen it all the time. I also understand that some players can't play with injuries. And I'm not saying that he's soft. I'm not saying that he's a bad player. I'm just saying some players play better with injuries. That's it. And so there's no, I'm not calling Joel Embiid out. What I am calling out is that I think he played with low energy and low effort last night. And that's something that he can absolutely control. Has nothing to do with his hand.
No, I agree with that part of it, that he looked like he was slogging and he's not in shape. And that kills me that he's not in shape.
And that's my whole point. So now Tyrone's point is this, and this is where Tyrone has it all confused. Mm-hmm. He thinks that I'm listening to Shaq and saying, well, you're just copying what Shaq is saying. What? Everybody in the world saw what Shaq saw. Everyone that watched the game saw the exact same thing. The guy that is supposed to be the most dominant post player in the NBA, not looking like that, especially in the first half and going into the second half. And then after the second half, you can say it was all game. Joel Embiid, who I expect every single game to be the most dominant player on the floor. He's the biggest. He has the most skill set. He's the most skilled big man that we've seen in a very long time. I expect him to be that every single game because I want this team to be good. And when there are games when he's not that, then obviously I'm going to have a problem with it. And so should everybody else except for Tyrone because he is a Joel Embiid apologist.
That's not true.
Tyrone does like Joel Embiid, but we'll give Tyrone go ahead. It's your floor now.
Yeah, so what he's doing is, you notice he said, I just quoted what Shaq said. I'm not saying I agree. Why would you quote what someone said if you didn't agree with it? Like, it doesn't make any sense to do that. So clearly, this was my issue. Shaq says it. That doesn't make it true. If anybody, again, if it is an independent thought, you watch the game, you got a problem with Joel Embiid, knock yourself out. I've lauded people on social media for that. What I can't stand is when outsiders like Shaq say something, and then we decide that it's right, even though everything he says doesn't make sense. And I get the professional athlete thing. Here's the problem. Have you ever seen a running back play with a sling? Let's say a guy went out there in a sling, a running back, and then he fumbled. We go, well, he said a sling. I've never seen a basketball player. And to your point in the start of the show, Mike, we've never seen a basketball player play with this kind of apparatus on their hand in a game. We've never seen it before. So therefore, all I'm allowing for is reality. The reality is it's going to be tougher to play that level of defense with one hand.
All right, let me add some perspective because Tyrone is going into an area that is absolutely true. You want him to be a dominant post player. Can he be a dominant post player with one hand? Can a running back be a dominant running back using one hand if he's got the other one taped up?
Mike, was there a stretch in the third quarter where Joel Embiid was dominant? Was there a stretch there in the third quarter?
No.
There absolutely was. There was a stretch.
Where was he
in the
dominant
third quarter
in that game?
It wasn't a long stretch.
He made one strong move to the basket and scored.
There was probably about a 4 or 5 minute stretch where he was a dominant player in the third quarter.
No, he wasn't a dominant player.
Absolutely.
He was not. Come on, Brian.
And just to respond to what Tyrone said, This is what his tweet said. He said that, my tweet was that Joel Embiid played with low energy and effort. His response was, he hasn't had bad effort. He has just missed shots. And this is my response, and this is where he continues to be confused at, is that my response was, he has zero energy, and Shaq described his play as soft. That's the response. So maybe Tyrone, who he is all supporting his boy, his butt brother, Joel Embiid, maybe he should start understanding things a little bit more.
See, now here's the thing. With the disrespect, I'm doing Brian a favor talking to him about basketball. He's a football guy. I'm helping him out. See how he slaps me down with the disrespect, but Tyrone, buddy, you see how it goes there. That's the level of disrespect. That's an unacceptable version of disrespect.
I had to correct somebody last night on Twitter about this. What makes you think that you are an authority on basketball, and because I play professional football, I can't be an authority on basketball the same way as you.
You what could makes you be. Think that? You could be.
Because I disagree with your opinion.
No, you could be. Because you absolutely could be, Brian. You're not, but you could be. That's not because you play football. You absolutely could be.
Let me slow this down now. All right. Let me just take say a couple of things.
Shaq, Joel Embiid, and you telling me, and everybody else that actually played the game, everybody else that watched the game, everybody else said the exact same thing. But you, Mr. Sixers Outsider, you're the right one. Shaq's wrong. Charles Barkley's wrong. Ernie's wrong.
All right, well, hold on. Let me get in.
Reggie Miller's wrong. Everybody else is wrong except for you.
Let me add some perspective, Brian. I want you to listen. To Shaq, everybody is soft. Right? Everybody is soft. Nobody has ever been as tough as Shaq, right? That's the framework. And maybe he's right. I don't know. With Barkley, he's got an axe to grind because Barkley picked the Sixers and now they're humiliating him because it makes him look like his expertise is off. On top of that, we're talking about those guys took credit for that last Milwaukee game. They took credit because they ripped him, and then he responded, and he said, oh, they were right. So they were taking bows all across America that they were the ones that re-energized Joel Embiid's career. So when it doesn't happen, they get personally slighted, and so their remarks are a little skewed. I mean, is that fair?
Is Reggie Miller wrong too?
Reggie Miller was blind because it was obvious to see. Last night, I'm watching the game. I'll rip anybody. I don't have any favorite. I'll rip Ben. I'll rip Embiid. I'll rip anybody. I'm not personally involved in either one of them. But I'm watching the game last night. He's dangling his left hand out. He's not putting his left hand in any of the action. Did Reggie Miller not see that? He's courtside.
Here's a question for you. Did he play with low energy and low effort?
Yeah, because he's out of shape. Okay. And there's no excuse for that. But you're trying to like fast forward. Well, the hand shouldn't matter. The hand does matter.
No, Mike. I didn't say that. You said that.
No, you're saying people play with injuries all the time, blah, blah, blah.
That's absolutely true.
But this is a different. He came back. First of all, it's a 6-week injury. He came back 3.5 weeks. He's also got it wrapped tight as a boxer, and it's also probably painful. He is intentionally trying to keep the left hand out of action. Now you can't be 100% effective when you're not using both your hands.
But let me ask you this. Does his hand being wrapped up have anything to do with his energy and his effort?
Well, it only does because he was out for a long time, and he got himself out of shape. Part of the effort is being dominant down low. When you only have one hand, you're not dominant down low.
Mike, you have to actually be down low to be dominant.
That part of it, and that's a coaching problem.
Or that's
his mindset problem. I'm with you. I am not absolving him. But like this hand not being a factor with these guys and you is ridiculous.
Mike, this is what I'm saying again, and this is the part that you continue to miss. His hand being hurt has nothing to do with his energy, his effort.
Well, yes, it does, Brian, because you're giving energy. You're being ferocious if you have both hands. If you have one hand you're trying to keep out of the action, you're not going to be as ferocious.
That's what, Mike. Then at that point, he probably shouldn't play.
Okay, but right? He's trying to play because he thinks the team's better with him. Because if he doesn't play, you know what people are going to say. Am I right?
You know what I would say to everything that you're saying? You can't have it both ways.
I'm having it right down the middle.
That's not right down the middle.
If he would sit out and go, well, I'm still not right, the fans would say, you've got to get in there and play through it. So he's trying to play through it. But playing through it, he's got one hand.
So the fans should say, you know what? We'll deal with low effort and low energy.
No, I'm not saying that because now you're twisting my words.
Well, no, I'm asking you because you're saying that.
I have already been on a pass because of his hand.
No,
I'm not saying pass. I've been on the record saying there's no excuse for him being lazy.
This is my point. He was lazy, which means low energy and low effort. That's the point. If you're agreeing with that, then there's no other excuse, whether it's his hand or anything else.
There's nothing else. One of the reasons why, one of them is being in shape, which I agree with you. He's not in shape. There's no excuse for that. The other for him not being active is the hand prevents him from being ferocious as Shaq. And does Shaq ever play that way? Did you ever recall Shaq or anybody playing, being dominant and ferocious with a hand like that?
This has absolutely nothing to do with anybody else except for Joel Embiid.
His hand. I don't get it. Let's just go to the phones. Let's go to Joe and bring a team. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, guys. I'm thinking here I should be refereeing between you all.
Go ahead, Joe. We're okay.
Hey, I do agree. I think we should be crediting Joel for coming back early. He came back early. I think that's the one thing I want to say, but I agree with everybody else. He should be in shape. He should be playing harder. But we should just give him some credit. That's all.
I'm not at the point where I'm going to give him credit, okay? I'm halfway between that. I understand that he knows that if he sits out, he's going to be labeled as soft. So he's trying to play. This is a 6-week injury. Every doctor that came in here said that's 6 weeks to heal and to rehab. 3.5 weeks the guy tried to come back. Now, if he got out of shape, that's his fault.
Good job, Joel Embiid. You came back early. I mean, again, Mike, in professional sports, because you're looking at it wrong. In professional sports, you come back when you can help your team win. That effort and that energy level did not help this team win, period.
That Joel Embiid is thinking that they're going to win with replacements for him. Do you actually think he thinks that Kyle O'Frickin' Quinn and Norvell Pell were going to carry the freight? Well, don't you think he knows he's a premier talent? If he's playing, they're going to have a better chance to win in his mind.
Well, Mike, as you know, this team goes as far as effort and energy as Joel Embiid goes, correct? Is that right or wrong?
Well, both of them. Don't forget the other guy.
Okay, good. And Ben. And Ben had good energy because he's running up and down the floor.
Yeah, he had good energy. He took six shots.
Good energy.
Nobody
said anything about the shots. I'm talking about this energy.
Shots are part of the game, man. And you had nothing bad to say about Ben. Ben played perfect last night. But Joel was terrible because, right. You know why. Break.
We're cooling down. We got to have the ice buckets come in here.
Tyrone, you guys are missing the point.
I'm not missing any point. I am agreeing with your point. I am also putting a caveat to it. Let's take a break. We'll come back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's get a Twitter poll update. As things have settled down considerably here, it's nothing but smooth sailing and calm.
Yep, Sal.
I'm gonna have to put my white noise app on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Because my ear doctor told me a white noise may soothe the tinnitus.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for the Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,800 votes on this so far. What is your current emotion regarding the Sixers? 9% say rage, 16% say anger, 64% are disappointed, and 11% say sadness.
Alrighty, sadness it is.
No, disappointment.
Well, I'm sad.
Are you sad or disappointed?
I'm in the sad category.
Because there's a difference. It's like, remember, like, what
why
your parents...
Why are you so sad, though, Mike?
Because I expected some things in this particular season that I'm not going to get now.
Are those things never to appear? Are they never coming for this basketball team or not?
Not this year. And in the off season, I may have to, like, revise the whole plan. Because I think they're going to lose in the first round. All right, here we go. I got my white noise sound on for you guys.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you asked a question earlier that I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Do you do
rainforest?
Yeah,
that, it's like
you like a rainforest, Brian.
Is that what you pick?
No, I have 40 different things. I know,
but is that like your go-to sound?
No,
you pick the rainforest?
I just downloaded the app today. I don't know what's on that. But
oh.
This is the first one that came up.
Oh, I like a beach.
What's wrong with this?
I like a beach wave or a nice light rainfall.
I might go there, but there's nothing wrong with the jungle either.
You want to sleep in the rainforest?
What's wrong with that?
It's a little noisy.
All right, anyway. Do you have a problem with that, Brian?
No, I listen to that soothing. Every night with the kids. Yeah,
there you go.
Kids love that.
Okay. Should we go to the phones? Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you, Brian, you don't know this. Last week we had a smell in here because they're doing construction, and this and the whole thing is just reconstructed and deconstructed. And they actually they cut a sewer pipe.
Wow.
So obviously it was like the Shawshank Redemption, and so the whole floor smelled of sewer.
Wow.
So the guy, or I had been mistaken. I said they mistakenly did it. I ran into the guy today, and he said that they were forced to cut the pipe so they could refigure the piping. So then I felt bad for the guy because he was the one that actually had to do it. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And then I heard Morgan Freeman say, Andy crawled to freedom through 500 yards of crap-smelling foulness that I can't even imagine.
A little Shawshank Redemption right there. I like it.
And the guy actually shouldn't have had to do that.
Well, he should, really?
Apparently, I was told through the grapevine.
I got it from the guy.
No, so I'm talking about that pipe was supposed to be a vent pipe. So that wasn't supposed to be.
Well, the guy told me it was part of the plan.
You know, cutting it was.
Yeah.
The stuff what that was in it wasn't part of the plan.
Oh, my God.
It was supposed to be clear, and it was full.
Oh.
It was not supposed to be full.
Cutting it
was part of the plan. What happened once he cut it was not part of the plan.
500 yards of crap-smelling foulness. Let's go back to the phones. John in Port Richmond. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, you missed what's up?
What's up, John?
Dude, and I want to say to B. West, by far, you are my favorite running back to ever play in the NFL. Thank you for the memories, pal.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right, I just want to say something real quick, Mike.
You didn't know Brian won a championship? A couple weeks ago, he won one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, you know. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He should have had one in 2008, but.
Yeah, that's all right. Andy got one. So, Brian's got one.
But I just wanted to say, like, and Bean's always been my dude. Like, even way back before, like, remember when he was in Quatar with that $100,000 anti-gravity treadmill we had for, like, for Andrew Bynum, like, working out? Even before he put a ball on the court, I was all about him. And then when he came dominant throughout the league, and after seeing his emotion last year, I thought he was going to come back with this fire and light the NBA on fire and light him up. And all I've seen from him is this drama-driven tweeting, gramming, high school teenager stuff. You know, he, ever since his little carousel ride with Carl Anthony Towns, he came out and said he was going to pull back from, like, talking during, you know.
Yeah, he kind of has, though. He kind of has pulled back.
Yeah, but, like, Mike, listen.
Yeah, he hasn't been talking trash and doing social media stuff.
I'm not saying that, but just look at the progression, all right? So he did say that, and he did scale back, but then he started taking shots. Like, 2 weeks after that, after, like, him not performing and stuff like that, he put it on, oh, because he don't do that no more. He doesn't enjoy playing the game anymore. And then the last call that I had, like, right before he injured his hand, he started taking little pop shots against his teammates. And that's, like that's what hurt me, because that lack of loyalty I've seen in him. So, I don't know. That's just all I got to say. And I want to say one more thing. I am so excited to watch that kid, Ja Morant, today. He is an animal. His handle, his vision, his quickness, and the touch that he has to finish around the basket is amazing, dude.
Yeah, he's an entertaining player. Ja Morant, yeah. Very entertaining.
Good player.
It's been a big surprise, the Grizz.
Yeah. You like Sixers tonight? -5?
I'll take that.
You like -5? -5, -220, Tyrone. We got -220 money line, or are you going -5?
I'm staying away.
Staying away? You think they can lose? Think they can lose the game?
I do think they could lose the game.
Uh-oh. Well, that would be It's a shame we don't have a show tomorrow. Oh, you got a show? You want to see?
No, I'm not on.
No?
No.
All right, Tony in the Poconos. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Mike, how are you, Mike?
What's up, Tone?
You got to have faith, Mike. You got to have faith. I'm losing my composure over here, but I don't know what to say anymore. But I think AB needs a break.
Faith is less than knowledge.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. If you have the equation, you can put the equation, one of those greater than or less than. Faith less than knowledge. Knowledge is this team's not good enough to win the East.
I know they're not, but I still believe. I think they're waiting for the playoffs to come. They're going to surprise a lot of people.
Oh, really? They're going to unwrap something?
I think so.
Yeah.
What about March 1st with this free agent? You think they have a chance to get somebody free agent?
What are you talking about?
There's a free agent. There's something going on with free agency at March 1st?
No, they're just fringe players. No, that's not marquee free agents. Yeah, there's no.
Oh, okay. I bet there was something.
No. No, you can add, I think, minimum salary players, but not.
I watch this show every day, and I listen to all the bull crap that goes on. And Charles Barkley, he's a clown. He's the biggest clown.
He's not a clown. He said some things that are over the top, I think, for effect. And I think last night he went overboard because he's angry. He's angry that the Sixers made him look bad.
Yeah, well, they're making me look bad, too, because I've been a Sixers fan for 55 years.
Yeah, well, maybe Charles likes to say provocative stuff, and he said provocative things last night. They're the Cleveland Browns. He doesn't like their heart. Well, Charles is looking bad because the Sixers look bad. So that influences it. When you're on TV, you would like to think that you're going to be totally objective, but sometimes the personal anger gets involved, and he's looking silly for picking the Sixers. So that's been reflective in his comments. Don't you think, Brian?
I think so. I mean, I don't think he looks silly. I think that the team is underachieving. I think that, you know, he had faith in players getting better. Mm-hmm. I mean, and now that those players did not get, most importantly, Ben, just shooting the shot. Mm-hmm. Ben will not shoot the shot. And I think he expected Joel Embiid to be in shape. After crying after the game, mm-hmm. after losing the way that they lost last year, he expects him to come back in shape and be on a tear the entire season, and that hasn't been the case.
Somebody emailed me and said Joel's frame would not allow him to lose 30 pounds, and that might be like his structure now as an adult. Yeah, he can lose to me more weight to be spryer. He's got what I call heavy butt.
And
heavy butt trails, you know? Like, heavy butt is what trails you. And he looks sluggish coming back. And I think it's heavy butt factor.
The hard part for Embiid is that, you know, because of some of the injury situations, he can't play every single game. A lot of times he's not going to play the back-to-back. And because of that, there are times where he just misses time on the floor, which really hurts his conditioning. So when he's out for a day,
it shouldn't, though. Yeah, and professional athlete, this is the thing. He's out for 3 weeks, all of a sudden he loses his condition. He's a professional athlete. I mean, for crying out loud, they got people in nutrition and science and training and all that kind of stuff. I don't get this that he's out of shape.
That's a discipline thing. It's a discipline.
Well, it is. And that's where you're right. I'm tired of that, too. All right, we're coming down. I'm starting with Brian. Brian will be here at 5. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's look at Twitter. This guy had pretty funny things. What's the story with Burks and Robinson? Were they coming in from Egypt?
That's a fair point.
It is a fair point. Because coming to play last night.
Yeah, he took a red eye. They sent him to his laptop, the playbook. He stayed up all night, took a red eye, read the playbook, and then was able to play, and they win the game.
What are Burks and Robinson doing?
And it's not even a lock, according to the report. It's not even a lock for Sunday. They'll arrive tomorrow, and then it will be decided.
Someone on Twitter, Meech One, said they're on the Peter Pan bus to Filbert Street.
Either that or South Beach or Kendall Jenner staying over for a couple days. I don't get it.
I mean, I guess they're...
Think about it, fellas, before you arrive. We only desperately need you.
They got to pack up the houses and all that stuff. Because Rocco, isn't he from there? Isn't he from Texas?
He is. I don't think he lives there.
I bet you he's still got a house in Minnesota. Well, he's probably got a house there. These guys probably got to get the... I think Brian's point's right. They got to get their stuff from across the country because they were in... They weren't home. They were in Brooklyn. They got to get all their some of their stuff from Oakland or San Fran to here.
Look through the yellow pages. What are you talking about? They got to get their stuff. What, they're going to hand pack their stuff? They're going to box up their stuff?
They're not doing anything anyway.
Grab a suitcase and get to Philly. Let some other people hire some people to get you stuff. Come on, man.
They got to pack bags. You want them just to come straight from the last game?
Yeah, they just need to make two games. They're going to miss two games?
With their one outfit?
They just got traded for. They need them. They traded for because they need them. Why worry about their belongings?
They could really use them tonight. They win the game if they have those guys tonight.
Let's go to Ron and Kate May. Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
Hey, thanks, Mike, for taking my phone call.
What's up, Ron?
I appreciate you guys are still the best show in the afternoon, so I don't care. Hands down.
Thanks, buddy.
Listen, I got a couple points for you. First of all, I watched the game last night. And I have to agree with B. West. B. West, by the way, did a great job on your other shows this morning.
Thank you very much.
I watched him, and you know what? My whole thing was he came alive in the fourth quarter. He did come back. He did make an effort to try to get to the basket. He blocked a couple shots. You know, he dove on the floor. And when the game was... could have been won. The ball went down the court. Three jerseys, black jerseys, were down there. No red jerseys. They hustled. They did not hustle. And the mic was on for Brett Brown. And he told them in the huddle before they went out, showed it on TV, I need guard play. I need guard rebounds. The guards have got the rebound. They did not rebound. I watched the whole way, the second half. There was no guards underneath there trying to get a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. They didn't listen to the coach. They did whatever they wanted to do at the end of the game, and they lost. And I can tell you one thing about Embiid. He is out of shape, and he doesn't play hard. He does when he wants to, and that's few and far between.
Okay.
And I really don't see them. They're going to have to do something, get rid of Brett Brown, but they're going to have to do something if these guys don't make it to the second round of the playoffs. One of those guys has got to go.
You can rest assured that they don't get out of the first round, that the coach is gone.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a question. Tyrone in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyrone.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, man? How you doing?
All right, I'm calling because a statement was made that I think Tyrone made it, that we never seen a player play with that type of injury. I know it's basketball.
Play effectively.
All right. Well, I don't want y'all to cut me off, but in 1993. Emmitt Smith had a separated shoulder, and he had a bruised sternum. In the game, they had to win to get home field advantage, and he played the whole second half.
Who was this?
And he won. Emmitt Smith,
a football player.
What was he?
A defensive? Who was the player you're talking about?
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith. Oh, okay.
We saw Brent Celek.
And he ran the ball up the middle, and he ran the ball around the sides. He played like was nothing wrong. His heart. This guy don't have any heart. You ever, like people who got a job, who don't like their job, but they got the job.
You gave me Emmitt Smith. It's a good example. Give me a basketball player that you have seen be effective playing with one hand.
Mike, it's harder.
I'm answering you a simple question. No, it's not. It's not hard in football. If it's a separated shoulder, you're put back together. You're in a harness, so you can't hurt it anymore. It's not no surgery.
He wasn't in the harness.
Wore a harness.
Mike, all right, let me get the second point in.
Right.
If you're a basketball player and that hand is hurt, post up on the other side. When you get the ball thrown into your hand.
Post up at the other side. You don't think the defenders are going to be pawing at you on either side?
Mike, I'm saying.
What is that? Post up on the other side. What? Your left hand's still in play when you got defenders trying to block your shot.
That's why it's so hard talking with the Philadelphia guys.
I get your point. All right. I asked you a simple question. You couldn't come up with a basketball player who does it. And then your solution is to post up on the other side. What the hell? Seriously? Post up on the other side. Does that mean it's going to stop your left hand from being in play? Whatever side of a basket you're on? Is it me?
And also, when he initially got hurt, didn't he come back in the game? When the injury first got hurt, he played it. Is that similar to Emmitt Smith?
Post up on the other side, and then he's going to rip me for being a Philadelphia guy.
Yeah, Philly guys are tough to talk to.
Rich in Abington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Rich?
Nothing too much. I just think Embiid, I don't know. He doesn't. It's just nothing. They're never going to win with him.
Okay.
Ever. Tyrone, they're never going to win.
All right, tell me, give me a little more than that. I mean, let's expand on it.
With the hand, with anything. If he was really hurt and the doctor said he couldn't play, he wouldn't play. But he wanted to play the Kobe game, right?
Well, he did. But that doesn't mean he's 100%.
So when it's convenient for him to do whatever he wants to do.
Oh, come on. Convenient. He's back in the line. It's not like he missed games after the Kobe game. He tried to come back and play. He's clearly not 100% with the hand.
How come the year before he was out all that time and he had to stay out because he had to stay out. Because he didn't want to play.
Do you want him to stay out? What is your point here? I don't get it. You want to rip him, but let's get specific on the rip, Rich. The problem? You don't think he should be back?
I want him to
He's obviously hurting. It is affecting his play. It's not affecting his shape. He should be in better shape. Is your solution that he shouldn't play?
He should be cleared by a doctor.
Well, he obviously came back. He was cleared, but they told him, obviously, he has to be protected with the hand.
If he can't play, then he's not clear.
I can't take it anymore. I can't take it, Brian. Brian, what are you doing this weekend? You going to have fun?
Yeah, me and the kids are probably going to go to a little amusement park. Take the sights.
That's nice. Little amusement park.
Kids weekend. You know how
it is. Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
You got an amusement park near you?
Yeah, they have one right near the Meadowlands, right? Actually, right across the street from the Meadowlands. Yeah. It's an indoor one.
It's an indoor? It's an indoor?
Yeah. It's actually inside of a mall, which is pretty cool.
That is cool. Kids love the amusements.
Try to wear them out. So nice and sleepy by 8:30.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend.
All right. Take care.
There he is, Brian Westbrook. Those last two calls affected me deeply.
Started the 5 o'clock hour early.
Yeah, that's all. And it's a Friday.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back to 5 o'clock hour. Wrap it up. The week should be epic. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.